Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, shit.
Hello, it's me, Brandon. I just pressed record and heard, oh, shit, from Chicken Fingers. So hopefully he's still on. He usually does that in the green room. John's here. Hi, John.
Hi, Brandon. How you doing?
Hi, Stu.
Brandon, yeah. Are there any trees on your house this week? Let's just start with
no.
That.
The tree has been removed. She gone.
Okay. Sorry.
Tree gone. Well,
that's great news. I'm happy to, and you're alive.
I am. The house has not killed me yet. Snakes are still coming after me, tree is gone.
That's good.
Hi, Stu.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Sorry I missed last time.
We missed you. And Chicken Finger 69 is back. Are you okay, buddy?
What's up, fuckers? I'm fine. I just half a dozen teenage girls just bounded into the house screaming. So they're having a sleepover. It's fantastic, Brandon. It's just great.
He is in hell.
It's just great.
He is in hell.
Do they keep to themselves generally?
In what sense? Like, do they bother me?
They're not like around you, but you can still hear them.
Everyone in the county can hear them.
This is everybody's problem in the whole.
Oh, there's no doubt. This is Hillary Clinton. You build a village. No, that's not the same. It takes the village.
You build a village to take a village.
Yeah.
Build a village, take a village. It's right in the gas station. Yep.
All right. So if you leave immediately or at some point without any warning, we'll just know there's some shit going down. Some teenage shit going down at the sleepover.
Came home and we've got this crazy ass dog, puppy that's 80 pounds. And I guarantee you, I forgot to bring the dog into the room. So I guarantee you the dog is attacking them because I can hear them screaming. That's what's going on. I know it is.
The dog is freaking the fuck
dog's
out.
Going ape shit. Friends. Jump, play, jump. Greatest day of my life. And these girls it's too big a dog for them to handle. It's not
exactly,
mean dog.
It's exactly like John Bonus when he meets anyone.
Yes.
Greatest day of my life.
I was going to say Dave Marthaler when Blood Mason is finally arrested. Sorry. Love you, Dave.
Oh, boy. Well, should we get started with the sports talk?
Sports.
Sure.
So we have got a Twins topic to discuss, and this is right in the middle of, we don't know the actual news. The people who are listening to this will know. This is what they call historically the podcaster's dilemma. Do we talk about, we would love to talk about it, even though everybody who's listening knows the outcome. So what we're talking about right now is our beloved new pitcher left today with a shoulder issue, and we'll figure out at some point how bad it is. It doesn't seem good right now, but we do have actually one of the four of us is an orthopedic surgeon in his free time, and that is Chicken Finger 69. You have a lot of experience with shoulder issues.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but shoulder issues, not a big deal at all, right?
Well, only ended my entire career, but okay.
Bad start.
What in the Twins' history would make you see what happened today and say to yourself, this will be fine? I'm sure it's nothing. What is it? tell me what you're latching onto. What is this? A name where they came off the mound with soreness and it turned to be nothing, or came off the field or anything and it turned out to be nothing.
That's
grim.
Ever.
What if they let him? Well, I don't know. They could have him just not pitch for a while and then maybe do some exercises to build it back up, like rest and rehab.
Rest and rehab, maybe.
That works all the time.
You know what that translates to? Off of Tommy John surgery, hopefully be ready by next year's playoffs.
Yeah, I know.
That's what that translates to.
18 months from today.
Maeda.
Exactly 18 months from today, someone will tweet out that he is throwing off flat ground.
Flat ground.
And he got on a mound and they had to take him off the mound. Not allowed. No, it's never worked. Liriano's the most famous one that I remember. I feel like they tried to do that with him. His was an elbow, not a shoulder, but elbows feel like they are very bad, but also recoverable. Shoulder feels to me like you might as well just take him behind the shed.
Liriano's kind of a great example of why I don't trust any of those pitching coaches or developers in any sense. Because we're going to start him off in the bullpen, right? Because we don't want to injure his elbow. We don't want to overload him. We want to ease him in, just the tip, guide the cock. Don't block the cock, guide the cock.
Guide it in.
In 1 inch at a time. And then what ends up happening? Blows out it's Tommy John. So you might as well have just used him as a starter to begin with, rather than easing him in. Don't tell me about pitch counts or any of this shit. This rest and relaxation Rocco loves to use. They have players on the injured list just as much as any team, if not more. So I don't trust it. I don't trust it. Mm-mm. Liriano was maybe one of the first that made me not trust it.
Yeah. And Maeda, most recently.
Nobody knows what the hell is going on. Nobody knows anything.
But everyone knows that the shoulder is bad.
We do know that.
Shoulders are bad.
And getting out of the mound and throwing like 87 miles an hour when you usually throw 94, 95.
Yeah, that's the Tommy Malone range. So nobody wants to be Tommy Malone. No. Ever. Tommy Malone doesn't want to be Tommy Malone.
He hates it.
In the offseason, he sells cars under a different name. It's wild.
I'm going to tell you, hopefully a very quick aside, Brandon. My shoulder is so bad, and my son's getting older now. So I try to pitch batting practice to him. But my old, when he was younger, the batting practice, the speed I can throw was enough from a normal distance. But now that he's getting older, in order to match the kind of the reaction time that he needs to develop at, I basically have the L screen like 3 feet from him. It's almost embarrassing. Like, I don't have the reaction time to get out of the way. We're nearing that.
You have to wear a helmet too, in case his follow through of his swing hits you in the forehead.
I have to check every inch of the netting to make sure there isn't a hole. Because I'll
three L screens.
I am so close.
Right now, I'm imagining. I'm just imagining this with three L screens and you with an entire fully decked out in hockey goalie equipment, just tossing batting press and taking baseballs off the dome.
He's like four step crow hopping it.
I've just taken a running start, full velo, 17 cricket. Miles an hour.
Yeah, like a cricket bowler, cricket just wine. Running in from way back at the back of the batting cage. And
maybe I've stumbled upon like the next great development skill. Like, this will be what Wichita State will be using.
I bet
in 2027 or something. I don't know. But right now it looks ridiculous because I'm basically 12 feet from him throwing
it's
a baseball.
Like, you know that drill where you sit next to somebody and you throw it up and then they hit it, like it's almost like off a tee,
but soft you're toss. Throwing it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, soft toss. It's like that, except you're in front of him.
In overhand. And in a full pitching motion.
And throwing as hard as you can.
Throwing as hard.
Just and max velo.
Grunting. It must look, so when it's 60 feet, 6 inches, it must look like the guys across the ocean. Like, I,
you got I all day. Imagine. Finish making a sandwich. Ball's still coming. It's fine. I got time. I got time.
Anyways.
Okay. Like, so this is, as mentioned, it's the podcaster's dilemma. I'm sure by the time everybody listens to this, we'll know exactly the severity, because as we understand it, recording this on a, what day is today? Is it Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
It's Saturday.
It's a Saturday. It's a Saturday morning, I believe. It's still MRI pending. That's a real, I mean, after the Paddock news, a real kick in the teeth, because I was super pumped. I don't know. I don't want to say super pumped. I was intrigued at this team post deadline, whereas I think we were all maybe similarly like just nonplussed throughout the entire season, even when they were in first place. It was kind of a weird team, as we know.
Intrigued is a good word.
Intrigued, yes, that's
they actually
good.
They tried.
Yeah, I was willing to be heard again.
Yeah,
it was opening up my heart. And now if he goes down, it feels like, I know the playoff odds are getting somewhat bleaker by the day. Well, the Royals were just the best, the most gracious team in the whole world the past few days.
The most polite guys.
Yes, the best. No, no, don't worry about it. We'll come to you. Yeah. We'll come to you. Just piss pound us. Yeah. It'll be easy. Get Pagan's confidence like back up.
Major League Baseball hospice care.
They started seven rookies. I've never
heard of anything. Seven!
And this is not a team with a rich, deep farm system. These are seven raw goddamn rookies. I think the final score for the three-game series was 17 to 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Had his glove on his head. Dandelions.
Which one's right field? Is it when I'm looking at the plate? No. Yeah, so that's been helpful. They are now either half a game or a game out or tied, depending on the outcome of the rest.
That game is a 4-4 in the eighth inning, I believe.
So. Right. We'll continue to give you live updates.
Let's monitor that.
As we go. We'll monitor. But if I still don't even know how to say his name. Is it Maul?
That's the shit of it. I never got to figure out how to pronounce his last name.
Never did here.
It's pronounced Gustav Mahler.
Gustav Mahler.
Yeah, I thought it was Molly. Honestly, I thought it was Molly.
I think it is Molly.
Molly. All right, cool.
We'll call him Marthaler. Tyler Marthaler.
It's old Ty Marthaler. If he's out, it's over. Yeah, is that fair? Because it's kind of over anyway.
They don't have the horses. I mean,
no horses.
That there's going to mean they got themselves a starter and enough bullpen arms to try to, get to the finish line and maybe win a playoff series. But if this is going to put them in the same spot where they don't have enough starters and they burn out the bullpen, and you're going to see fucking Emilio Pagan pitching in a high leverage situation in the eighth,
possibly starting a playoff game.
I feel like
Emilio Pagan starting a playoff game.
It might just be like the times I'm checking in, but I swear to God, we traded for better pitching, so he wouldn't have to pitch anymore.
Yep.
And now he still pitches every game. Every single time I look at the box score, he's for some reason in the game, and he's got 2/3 of an inning
every day.
Four hits.
Oh, God. Today was the worst, because the Twins had a nice start. You have the game up on your laptop, and you go over to other tabs and do your work, and then you go over there, and Emilio Pagan's in the third inning. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Bruce Sutter, he pitches three innings. He's Bruce Sutter on WGN in 1984.
105 start.
Three innings every game.
That's the whole point of these trades were, so we don't have to see him anymore. I mean, I guess Duffy, we got rid of Duffy, right?
Yes, the doof is. Yeah, he cleared waivers too, so he's anybody's.
Still around.
Yep.
Meat Raffle has been fantastic lately.
He's actually been really good.
Really good. So that's been cool, but yeah,
I don't know how sustainable that one is.
It's true. That's house money.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I'll hold out hope that everything's going to be okay, but it's not great. Shoulder problems. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask about is, and I could be wrong here, I've been a little bit checked out. It's just like a blanket statement for me. But their playoff odds are all of a sudden like not great. It was the exact opposite the entire season, where they were miserable to watch, and then we'd look and their playoff odds were like 80% or 90%. It just felt like this was inevitable. And all of a sudden it's not inevitable, right? Like now it's looking very likely they don't make it at all. I don't know how I feel about that. Now I'm sad. First, I didn't want to make them to make the playoffs because I didn't like watching them. And I needed a break, and now I'm getting a little bummed out.
What are their playoff odds right now?
Probably 50-50 if I had to guess.
Do you believe in Cleveland?
No.
Like, so I don't know. These odds, they don't do much for me. No. These odds,
they don't impress me much.
I don't know. Cleveland doesn't do anything for me. The White Sox suck. Royals are obviously horrible. So they'll go on a run, and then the odds will be right back up, and then they'll shit the bed, and then the odds will be down. And
swing up, swing down.
Yep. Go cross.
Okay. I have procured the odds on Baseball Reference.
These are
personally compiled by our friend Hans still somehow. Yep.
Thank Hans.
Yep. Hi, Hans. Yeah, this is postseason odds. What do you think the Twins are?
45%.
Good.
56%.
I was going to say 44.
Okay, it's 39.9.
Really?
Yeah.
They're down to 40% already?
They've got Cleveland at 52 and the White Sox at 54.
What the fuck? Okay, then we're fine. I'm not super worried about it. The one thing I know is it's not going to be the White Sox. That's the one thing I know about the Central.
There's a 140% chance. They're a dog shit
team for perverts. Sorry.
I don't understand. Because I know there's like 15 wild cards now, but there's no way one of the Central teams gets a wild card, right?
No. The entire AL East is ahead of us. It's fine.
Does this mean like the wild card, they're 16% Cleveland, 14% Chicago, 16% Minnesota. So they all have pretty equal odds at kind of all of it.
Wait, oh boy, that's actually surprising that any of those teams has a 1 out of 6 chance of winning the wild card.
Trash.
So actually winning the division, they say the White Sox have a 40% chance, the best odds. Is this year? I'm so confused. Cleveland 36 and we have 23. So we have the least odds of the three right now to win the division by a pretty striking amount.
Yeah, it's not that close.
Mm-mm.
Maybe they saw the Twins play against the Angels.
Perhaps. That was a dispiriting stretch of games. Because yes. The Angels seem to be inventing ways to lose, despite having two of the most galactically talented players ever. Like today, Ohtani went 4 for 5 today, hit a home run, did great. They lost 11-4.
Tungsten Armo Doyle. Tungsten
Armo Doyle again and again and again.
Did you see the other day where they got a guy in a rundown and then just like forgot to cover home and he just got to score?
That was
shit.
I coach 10-year-olds, as you know. They have never, ever done that. And they make some really boneheaded plays. Never so far in 2 full years. And there's rundowns. Chicken, you remember this. There's 6 rundowns a game at that age.
Sure.
Kids are purposely getting in rundowns because they think it's the funniest thing ever.
They've never once
not covered home plate. Ever. We would probably end the game. Go, okay, forget it. Line it up. Shake hands.
If your kid was the one who forgot, what would you do? Would you compose yourself or would you lose your shit?
Oh,
like
man.
If he just was staring off into the sky. Oh, shit, that's right. I was supposed to cover him.
I am generally a very level-headed coach. I think I would like have an aneurysm and die on the field.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm. That'd be it.
To scream pickle when there's a pickle, because I don't know if there's anything
more fun than screaming pickle when they're
sprinting to the pickle.
Just scream pickle.
You yell pickle and then you run to that pickle.
Yep.
It's a great thing. It's the best. And
if you get to, if you get to yell, I mean, there's guys like dads are jumping in, people off the street are running in.
Back the guy waiting for the bus.
Yeah.
Wearing slacks and briefcase.
DoorDash. DoorDash from Jersey Mike's.
Everybody also went in on that.
The umpires backing up.
Umpires are jumping in. People from other games on other fields.
Frank Drebin. That was Frank Drebin. He got in. He was the umpire that jumped into the pickle in Naked Gun.
Yeah.
The
first yeah. Oh God! Yeah.
Enrico Palazzo.
Oh no!
He jumped into the pickle.
Yeah, that was one of the most asinine things I've seen in a long time. Well, since the previous Angels game.
Would you say it was more or less asinine than the time the Pirates tried to tag Javier Baez out at he hit the ball to first, but tried to get him in a rundown at first base.
Yeah, and then they threw home because he just kept running backwards, and then they still didn't realize that no matter what, after 25 minutes, it's still a force out at first, and they still didn't get the force out.
And they threw it away, and the Cubs scored a run.
Yeah. I still think the number one, like most, I don't even know what you would call this, just surreal, stupid, whatever. To me, I could be wrong, but it doesn't have to be when Manny Ramirez cut the ball off from center field when he was playing left field. He like dove after the ball at his cutoff.
Yeah.
I think that may have been my favorite.
That was as good as it gets.
I don't know if it gets better. We'll think about it.
Well, there was that one time, I forget which outfielder it was for the Royals, but somebody hit a long fly ball and the Royals outfielder went back and climbed the wall to take away a home run, and then it landed like 25 feet in front of the
corn.
That was pretty good.
That was great. That was, you're right. That may have been the best one. So many.
Remember some boners.
Let's remember some boners. all right. So we're going to wait to see if Ty Marthaler is safe and healthy. And if he is, we're going to still continue being intrigued. If not, might be it. Is that what our conclusion is about the Twins?
Yeah.
Yep. That'll help.
And this was panic, real panic mode until those beautiful humans on the Royals came into town. That really helped. That really settled things down, because I think the odds were a lot lower 3 days ago. So thank you again, Kansas City.
The Twins really had the last 3 days. They really had the air of a team that doesn't have enough players and it doesn't matter. Like I think they played today's game with seven players and it didn't matter. Just one outfielder. It was fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's our Royals.
They should play the Royals more, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Right. Agreed. Okay. Should we move on to other sports?
We can.
I don't know if we want to do a full Vikings preview today. What I was saying we could do is we should run down the top 12 to 15 guys on the bubble and really break down an analysis of who we think might make the actual. I'm kidding, of course. I don't know anybody on this team this year at all. I have no clue. John, over to you.
I really think that.
Do you feel like you know this team pretty well?
Do I feel like I know this team?
Here, no. Let me.
We're relying on you, John.
Was the Minnesota Vikings first round draft pick this year? It happened like 3 months. I mean, it wasn't a long time ago.
Eric.
Well, they traded
Mike Hughes.
Hughes traded it.
Oh shit!
They traded it to Detroit.
First round draft pick.
Oh, didn't they have like the 15th pick?
Yeah, they were going to pick like 15th, and then they traded down.
And it didn't make any sense, but then like the charts said it was fine.
Let me ask it this way: who was their first overall pick?
Who was their pick?
I've got this.
Dakota Dozier.
Dakota Dozier.
I believe it's
Bill Beavers.
Louis Cine? Or Louis Cine?
Yes.
Cine? Georgia safety.
Yeah, Georgia safety.
A safety. Is it first round?
Yeah, like it was the last pick of the first round. Is that right?
Let's remember some picks.
Yeah, it was him. And then the second round, they got a guy who had sex with 16-year-olds, but he's on the offensive line. So
Woody Allen?
That Packers tight end.
How old was he at the time?
Shimura?
If that makes a big difference. If he was also 16.
You know, John.
Oh, that's fair.
I'm going to guess it was brought up for a reason.
Yeah, the fact that we know about it is not.
Yeah,
a good
he was
sign.
13. It was impressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that's it.
But the reports out of camp is that he's actually very good, which means the Spielman era is officially over because they spent a second round pick on an offensive lineman who might be able to play, which is crazy. Okay. I talked to Judd Zolgad yesterday is what I'm saying, basically. So,
hey, how's that?
That's why I know both of those little factoids.
How is Judd doing?
Judd's doing great. Here's the beer that he was drinking yesterday for
okay
those,
that says before I die.
Before I die craft lager. It'll be available at the Vikings game on Saturday. So I believe that is a Judd Zolgad Rand Ball Stew collab with a couple other people involved. So but yeah, basically it's
creative.
Yeah, you know
Chicken, your microphone is really bad.
Oh well there's a storm going through.
You guys are frozen all the time. Your faces when I'm
going off camera. That does it. You guys, you know what I look like.
You're going four wheeling.
Okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
Thinking four wheel drive. Here we go.
All right.
No, it's cutting in and out. Like I think you've got a short.
Short?
Oh, no. Yeah.
How about now?
Is it better?
When you said how about now, it was terrible, and then when you said is it better, it was fantastic.
All right, how about now? I am
fantastic. So good.
Okay. I'm just sitting perfectly still.
Stop moving. Do not move.
That
I hope we leave all of this in the final podcast.
That dude, do you think I'm editing these days?
This stays in.
Everything stays in. Everything must stay. That's our rule.
Oh shit. They're upstairs.
Uh-oh. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, this I hear the yelling.
I can hear. We actually hear it.
Shit!
It picked it.
This
it
is like noise.
They're getting closer, aren't they?
They are. This is like the people in the basement of that Brad Pitt World War II movie. I can hear them coming.
Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards. That's
you
it.
Know. I just Tarantino. Watched that like a couple weeks ago. It's so good. It really, sometimes I rewatch movies because I just get bored. I don't have a TV show much right now. So if I have like a half hour, I'll just start a movie. Some of them don't hold up. That one for sure holds up.
That's really Tarantino, good. Correct?
Tarantino. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
yep. It's awesome. Okay. So, and Stu, I wanted to ask you, do you have Mond fever?
Oh, I don't. He's awful. No, but I've got a coworker, Sam, who was just he's got a whole case of Mond fever.
Oh no.
Sam. Sam watch that play, that third down play where Mond ran around for half an hour and there's the guy standing in the end zone wide open. There's nobody within 30 yards of that guy. Like wide open. Vikings receiver. And either Mond didn't see him and threw it away, which that's a horrible decision. Mm-hmm. How do you not see that guy? Why don't? Or maybe worse, he tried to hit him and missed him by 40 yards.
You see,
it's one of those two things.
Yeah, it looked like that throw, chicken. I think you remember the bad game against the Oakland A's last year when Arias fielded that ball at third base.
Oh no.
Landed in like the mezzanine section.
Just here in the crotch.
Going up and, fucking, and up.
He just kept TC Bears eating stole some kid's fucking helmet nachos and he hit him right in the fucking seed bag.
That was the only throw in the history of Oakland Coliseum to actually reach
made
the
it
stands
out.
On the fly.
Somehow. Got past the 3 acres of foul ground space.
that's in the stands.
Billy Bean on his.
There's not even any netting in Oakland. They're like, it's fine. It will never hurt us.
But yes, that's the play I referenced him, and he goes, "Well, yeah, but he looked pretty okay in the fourth quarter," which is like,
oh god, Now,
God, I've been you before, Sam. I understand this. I've been there. I do. You're younger than me. Don't get
how could he watch that game and think that, nope, this is our future? Did he watch the game?
Yes, he watched.
And he said to himself, this is our future.
I believe.
I think it's just now, in his defense, he also saw Sean Mannion play, which is
and you work with him, so you drink during the day. That's all another possible.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a happy drunk.
Maybe it's possible. Like he's young and he hasn't seen the world yet.
He's not as jaded.
That's it.
Right.
He never saw.
I think he's like 27, 28.
To be that innocent.
Yeah.
Not be beaten down by the world. Your Johnsons and your Ponders and your Jacksons.
When you're younger, you take chances and you catch things. And that's, I think, Bond fever.
Well, your heart's open. You know, you're like willing to fall in love.
You're just willing to go.
I'm going to get out there. I'm going to put my heart out there and see what happens. God damn it. It's got to work once, right?
God.
That's what they say.
I just realized that if he's 27, 28, he's too young to remember 1998. There's way. If you watch that game, he doesn't remember it.
No. A full generation of people doesn't remember it.
Yeah, it's like the 1977 Super Bowl for me. I remember like being in my folks' living room watching it.
I don't even know who played in that.
That's the Vikings and the Raiders.
I assumed it was the Vikings, but I didn't know. Huh.
I remember it because that's when they had Super Bowls in the daytime. It was at like 2:30 in the afternoon.
Whoa.
It was wild.
I do not remember that in that phase at all. John, do you remember Super Bowls not being like a huge thing?
I'm too young. I'm younger than Stu, and I'm clearly too young to remember.
Spiritually older, though.
When the Super Bowl was a lead-in for a baseball game or whatever.
Right. The big fight. Like a boxing match happened afterward.
Dude, as this football game is over, we're gonna go right to Churchill Downs for a horse race.
Yeah, it's middle of the fourth.
We're gonna cut into 60 minutes, and Harry Reasoner was gonna go over there and cut a bitch.
I'm laughing, but I don't.
You don't know who Harry Reasoner is? That's okay.
I'm laughing a lot. I mean, I understand what you mean philosophically. I don't know who that is,
though. You know the syllables, and the
yeah.
things, but yeah,
no, inherently I know that's a funny joke.
I will say that the first Super Bowl I remember, I think Up With People did the halftime show, and that was the last bad halftime show.
Yeah,
that was the last one where they were like, we was don't have
the Metrodome one.
Well, no, it wasn't the Metrodome one. It was before the Metrodome one, but
Up With People was Metrodome. That sounds right.
With People the Metrodome. All right. Well, Redskins, I'm mixing up my 91? Memories then.
I could be wrong. Wasn't that 91?
Only there was a way for us to.
There's no way for us to know. That's, Wade, who shunned John at the baseball game.
Shunned me.
Should check that for us. So, Wade, this will be in your podcatcher in the morning.
Well, I'm mixing up my memories then because
I remember once. No, you guys are all wrong. I knew you were wrong, and you're wrong. The halftime show at the Metrodome, the rhythm is going to get you.
Oh, the Miami Sound Machine. Mm-hmm. Featuring Gloria Estefan.
Estefan, yep.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. To the combat.
Only as far from fucking Cuba as you could possibly be.
And when you think conga, you think Mark Rippon.
What the fuck? Huh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you moved again.
He moved. The kids.
You sound like you set the microphone down. You walked like 30 feet away to the fridge and we're still talking to us. Wasn't that Prince? Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna do this.
We can hear you. It's just like really not loud.
How about something.
Ooh.
Can you hear me better?
Oh,
A little bit. Well, when you said, can you hear me better? It was bad. And then you said now, and brother, it was good.
It was, the brotherhood part just made it feel better.
Mm-hmm. Say more things.
Microphone. I'm going to say
really good. Really That's good. Awesome. Really. Top notch.
I did clear as a bell. Audio settings, and I just moved a bunch of things.
Uh-huh. Yep. Like the sliders up and down. You're at the recording studio, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Needle so I have another question for Stu, our Vikings sweet. Expert.
Let's do this.
What percentage of fans, and this means all Vikings fans, the Sams, the Chickens, mm-hmm. the Bees, the Johns, the Stews, all of us, what percentage think that are going to derisively call him Monder his entire career? And what percentage of people think he's actually like going to be a good quarterback?
Okay, first of all, in Mon's defense, that pass that he overthrew would not have gone. Ponder could not throw that pass.
No, that's he good. Couldn't even make
that's
it. Line,
that's landing on the 2 yard
20,
line.
20 yards. Yeah.
That is a grounder up the middle from Christian there. So let's give Mond that much. You see guys who like figure it out and can make a career, but this is already his second year. Let's say 5%.
5%.
5% that he'll be a quality backup in the league. Someone you can trust to take over for a game or 2 year. I don't know. A Geno Smith type.
Now, is that your prediction or that's what you think? Because you got your finger on the pulse of the fan sentiment. How many fans are like your friend Sam and how many friends are like your friend Chicken?
They've got some hope.
Yeah.
Which is what kills you.
I know. That'll do it.
Every goddamn time is hope. I think there's probably about 30-35% of the fan base who think he was just being stifled by Mike Zimmer, which is, you know, because now they're blaming him for things that he didn't do, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, I'd say about 30, yeah, let's say 1 in 3. Let's say 1 in 3 think that Mond might actually be good.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. People be crazy.
Can someone explain John Mannion to me? And this is what I mean. Sean Mannion is 30 years old. He has played in the NFL, and by which I mean he's stood on the sidelines in the NFL for 7 seasons now.
He remembers the Up With People halftime show.
At no point in that entire 7 years has he ever done anything that demonstrated that he might be good at being a quarterback in the NFL. Not one time. Mm-hmm. There's never been one glint of hope. There's never been one performance that made you think, well, yeah, maybe he's got it. He started 3 games. He lost every one of those games. He was terrible in every one of those games. His quarterback rating is like 14 for his career. Why is he still a backup NFL quarterback? What possible reason can there be that he's still employed?
None of us knows, John. None of us knows.
I don't know.
Mm-mm. It's like there's this weird thing in baseball where you'll have a guy that's a quadruple A player or whatever, and there's 1,000 of those guys, but somehow some of them, through one reason or another, will get into the major leagues. Usually it's not because, you know, they've really been busting down the door and they got to get in there. Just somebody got hurt. Your Jake Caves that end up playing 80 games 1 year, 100 games the next year.
Your Zach Granitz.
They end up going on to have like 15-year Major League Baseball careers despite never being good at baseball.
Right.
And the only reason is because they were in the majors once. And so people are like, well, I guess he was in the majors. He must be good enough to be in the majors again.
This guy's a pro. Yeah, he must be a pro.
Yeah, he must be a pro. He knows where the locker room is. Same way with backup quarterbacks.
I guess so. I don't get it. Same in like corporate America. You hit a certain level and people just go, well, this person must be smart. And a lot of times they're not.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you know if I ever get there.
Yeah. I think I might be there. I think I might be guy at my company. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, what? I don't know. He must be. I don't know. It's a weird feeling.
Considering you're the CEO of the company now. Oh, yeah. I don't know anything, he says, walking to his corner office after parking his BMW.
Oh, God, I wish. That'd be sweet. That'd be real sweet. I have no idea, man. He doesn't do anything for me. I can totally understand, like, rest in power, but Tavares Jackson, I can understand talking yourself into a guy like that who like hasn't really done. He was not great in college, you know, wasn't like a guy who won, but had a strong arm.
Offensive player of the month one year. It really happened.
It actually happened in our lifetime. But I can see talking yourself into him, right? Because he's like, he can scramble. He's got a great arm. Like, he's got a bunch of other things going for him. Mm-hmm. He just could never find the right guy to pass it to, which turns out is the most important part of quarterbacking.
Yes.
But Mannion doesn't have, as far as I know, it's not like stud athlete either. So those are the guys I just don't.
I don't get it, man. Mm-hmm. I don't. And boy,
I mean, he was a third round pick. He threw a lot of passes at Oregon State.
Okay.
That's not a pedigree.
No, nope. It isn't. It's not good. John, if you wouldn't mind, I got a game I'd love to play.
Okay. All right. Whose mom am I?
Okay. It's a variation on being somebody's mom. You need to be you.
Oh, this is the easiest role I've had so far.
Sure. But we also know that there's two sides of John Marthaler, and there's the most optimistic person on this podcast by orders of 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the most cynical by a magnitude of a magnitude or by a lot.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
So you're one or the other. Now, what I'm hoping you can role play today is John the optimist.
All right.
John, who's sees the football that Lucy has set down, and you're like, I am going to boot the shit out of this football. This is going to be awesome. I want that John right now to show up.
All right. Hold on. All right. I'm remembering how I picked Joe Mauer to hit 30 home runs every year for like 10 consecutive years on this podcast.
Yep.
You just got to remember that. Get into that mindset.
Get there.
All right, I'm there. I'm ready.
Okay, you're there. John, please get me excited about this Vikings team.
Well, they've got one of the best running backs in the league in Dalvin Cook. They've got one of the best wide receivers in the league in Justin Jefferson. They've got 15 other receivers.
Okay.
Some of whom are Adam Thielen and some of who aren't. I found out recently that Irv Smith is not Irv Cross. And so he doesn't have to appear on the CBS pregame show in 1991.
Concerning that this is your fourth bullet, but sure, keep going.
Okay. They have several defensive players that you've heard of.
Well, one guy that we just learned from Stu, who's got a pretty good pedigree, right?
Right.
They
have
Zach LaVine. What's his name?
Roman Polanski.
Roman Polanski. He's on the.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Roman Polanski is playing guard. Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to get there. They've got all those defensive players you've heard of are not one of them has had a psychotic break with reality yet this year. And that's a major improvement over last
year. Pretty cool. I mean, the year's young, but
The coach likes to talk about how great the kicker is now instead of trying to snap him with a rubber band every time he can get close enough to get him. That's a change from last year. Let's see what else.
That's it.
KJ Osborne is still on the roster.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Oh yeah. I definitely know who that is.
There's more. They have different linemen this year. some of whom aren't Garrett Bradbury, though I understand that Garrett Bradbury is still probably going to start, which I Garrett Bradbury is such an interesting case because obviously he's played football before and he's a large person, mm-hmm. but somehow he always just gets absolutely blown away in the middle of the line, which is there was one year where he gained a bunch of weight to try to prevent that and it didn't work. So then the next year he lost all the weight and that also didn't work.
Kudos and for trying, Garrett.
We must have offensive line coaches, but I don't know what they're doing with Garrett. Anyway, it's an interesting case and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you never know if he's going to get like, do the Vikings play the Rams this year? I don't think they do.
I mean, why are you asking us? We don't have any idea.
Well, none. It's always fun because there's whenever they play Aaron Donald, there's always the chance that a Vikings running play is going to get blown up by Aaron Donald picking up Garrett Bradbury and throwing him into the running back, which is
and up I mean, to Aaron to Donald. How?
Yeah, it's funny to watch. So,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right. So what I guess I'm saying is the offensive line should be better because they've got Roman Polanski mm-hmm. Or whoever else they got. They got a bunch of other guys too that sound like they might be better.
Yep.
Stu's coworker loves Kellen Mond, which is good because Kirk Cousins is he's been very durable, but
I love this. Stay optimistic. Yeah. Been durable. So, you're right.
Hold on. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson. That's fun.
Okay. We're just repeating things now.
Yep. And
what about the defensive line?
The defensive line is going to get better for reasons I can't think of right now.
No, you just, this is like, just got to believe.
Yeah. Well, that's who I am, Brandon. I'm the most optimistic guy.
Okay. Okay. You did your best here, John. Thank you.
Wow. I mean, the more we talk about it, the more I really can't tell if they're going to go 7-10 or 2-15
or 8-9. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's possible because we know that there was a pretty defined floor and a very defined ceiling for old Zimdog, right?
Yeah.
7 wins, 10 wins, somewhere in between. They're going to be there. We don't know about this new guy. They could be a 2-win team. He could be a disaster. I don't even know if we got a nickname for him. I don't even know what his actual name is. Kevin O'Connell, right?
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell. He played E on Entourage.
Oh, right. E.
Yeah.
Nice little late career move for him.
Yeah. It's, you know,
it's impressive.
Gotta do. Keep those checks.
All this Vikings talk is reminding me that I got to read this Vikings stat I saw. Drew McGarry posted his annual Why the
Vikings.
Oh,
I haven't read it yet. I'm so excited.
I gotta read this stat for you, but this is about last year. And I want you, as I read it, I want you to remember that Mike Zimmer was a reputed defensive mastermind. Here you go. The Vikings allowed touchdowns on 32.4% of opponent drives in the final 4 minutes before halftime or the end of the game. Worst in the NFL. The NFL average was 12%. The second worst team was 20.6%. Not only did they rank 32nd in the NFL last year, they ranked 686th out of 686 since at least 2000.
My God.
Oh, no. Wow. I don't like that.
I'm so glad I was emotionally checked out by the middle of the season.
You know, it's a saving grace for all of us.
It was, I think, it was the Amon Ra St. Brown touchdown against the Lions, where they gave him a 10-yard cushion on the 3-yard line with no time left on the clock.
That's also linked in this column. I got to go watch it again.
I thought we were doing the optimism.
It's hilarious.
Wait,
it was 4th and 2 from the 10, and all of the defensive backs backed up to 5 yards deep in the end zone.
What happened?
It doesn't make any sense.
Chicken, are you ready to step in and be the optimist?
Well, no. I have not.
You already predicted 0-17 online.
Trying to close out this route. It's great. It's glorious.
Am I cutting out?
No, we hear you.
Anyway,
John's just still talking.
No, that's okay. I didn't. I just want to make sure I'm okay. I'm only prepared to be the pessimist, not in any way prepared to be the optimist.
So, Chicken, you've got a little bit of a conundrum here because you had tried to dial in this sweet spot for the past, I don't know, decade or so,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in which you let me get this straight. Good things happened. It was because of the coaching.
Yep.
Bad things happened is because of the GM.
I don't think that was you were consistent.
You got there. It was not hard to do.
No.
A draft pick ended up good. Well, obviously.
Coached him up.
Zimdog coached him up. We know that. So where are you mentally now with we got the new guy, Killicam is our smart guy. GM, and then we've got E from Entourage as our coach. Are you for sure out on both? Because that makes it more consistent. Or are you You're out. You're just over. So you are like 0-17 would actually like it would suck in some ways, but it would be validating.
No, I'm sorry. I should say this. I'm not out on Cam. I'm not out on the GM. I'm out on the coach.
Okay.
Cam, I'm going to give a little bit more. Leeway
a little bit foot leash.
I am out.
You've already brought him back to the pound. Otherwise, like no leash, nothing.
I'm gonna search for a metaphor and it's gonna be horrible and it's gonna be strained and I'm gonna do it anyways.
That's our specialty.
O'Connell. So we hired this guy because the league is going to kind of young, innovative minds.
Short right? haircut. That's,
yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. The Sean McVay mold, and Sean McVay is obviously like a football genius. Like he's a savant, right?
Yeah, totally.
So we went to the Sean McVay tree and plucked a lemon off the Sean McVay tree in Kevin O'Connell.
A lemon. I see what you're doing.
So let's say that we're opening a sandwich restaurant. This is what I'm going to try to do.
I love a good sandwich.
I love sandwiches. And you say to yourself, okay, in my restaurant, the key to this sandwich is going to be the bread.
Yeah.
So I am opening this new restaurant. I'm going to go to the best bakery I can think of.
Subway.
And I'm going to hire somebody from there to run my restaurant.
Yep.
That's going to be because the bread's the base, right?
So we are.
So you go there and you hire and you bring the guy in and you say, all right, you are running my restaurant. So I'm going to need you to bake the bread. And he's going to be like, well, I didn't bake it at the last place. You're like, wait, you're the offensive coordinator. You didn't call the plays.
Mm-mm.
Oh no.
I was the host. That was front of house guy.
That was the other guy. Well, so what?
It's like, did you watch him make bread? Like, sort of. Yeah, I was around.
I was there watching him make the bread.
Well, what were the ingredients? Like, I don't know.
Thing? Like, now you're in charge of the whole sandwich? Yep. It
just had like Tupperware of different ingredients that he measured out. I watched him, but I don't know what this.
And he memorized them all, and he was a genius, so he didn't really have it.
I saw him use measuring cups a couple times, but usually...
So, okay, end of strain metaphor. That's why I struggle with this move a little bit. Yes, he fits the mold of being young. It's almost the boy geniuses. Why I struggled with the Twins hiring the boy geniuses is I didn't see any accomplishments behind it's the hot trend was in baseball was to hire the Ivy League guys, right?
Yeah.
But did we get there too late? Did we get to the trend too late?
Yeah, we got like the 33rd best Ivy League guy.
That's right. And if everybody in the league is doing Ivy League guys,
they already got the Ivy League guys.
Then you're not ahead of the curve.
You're afraid that we got ourselves a Romeo Crennel.
I'm worried.
We got us a Charlie Weiss, a guy who watched Belichick do it.
Yes.
But isn't Belichick.
That's my concern. Yes.
Mm.
That's a good, yes. But in the young offensive genius mold.
Oh, Mangini.
We got that.
Eric Mangini. That's who we got.
Mangenius.
The Mangenius.
That's my concern. Oh, no. And until proven otherwise, that's my concern.
The problem with Mangenius and Weiss, it's not the exact same, is I think those guys were like super arrogant and bombastic and like we're changing shit up. Whereas I feel like this guy is just like, I don't know, I'm here. I'm the coach, I guess.
Well, so that's all I've heard out of camp is that it's okay. So what's going well? Well, he doesn't yell. Okay.
Easy. I can do that.
That is a thing.
I mean, I won't, but I could.
It's a thing that's good, I suppose.
They're just pointing out things that are different, not that that's good or bad.
That's my point. Yes.
Right.
That's not a pot. I don't know that that's necessarily a, it's a tangible thing, but that, mm-hmm. is it enough to move the needle enough to put them in the Super Bowl?
Right.
It seems to be quite a stretch.
It's a stretch.
Or make the playoffs? Because
I can't imagine.
I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. That's and furthermore, so to overhaul this defense, the strategy. So we had this old curmudgeon defensive coach.
Yep.
Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to overhaul the defense and go in an entirely different direction from Zimmer, their plan was to hire Ed Donatell. Like, wait, what? That's no.
See, like, even older and more of a curmudgeon? Yes.
What the hell?
Zimmer's dad.
It might even be Zimmer. It might even be him.
Just a mustache.
Just the Italian Zimmer. I don't... seem to me to be much of a change. And they've got Cousins, and they've got everybody that they had before. There wasn't any remarkable overhaul. Yes, they have draft picks. Every team has draft picks, except Seattle. Except the Sea Chickens.
Right. No, they
don't. Everybody makes those changes. What they didn't really overhaul the roster in any meaningful way that I can see beyond the draft picks and the one Green Bay defensive lineman.
So you are feeling pretty open-minded on Cam. So he has a good draft, couple good drafts or a couple good signings in a row. You might go, yeah, it's pretty good. But if all of a sudden E is like, seems to be like a good in-game coach or whatever, are you going to like be okay and get on board quickly? Or do you think you're already going to be like, oh, I've kind of hitched my wagon to him being bad and I kind of have to roll with this. But you're not feeling any personal. You're okay still. You're going to,
not any buy-in. I'm not, I will wait. I'll hedge my bets.
You're going to hedge. Yep. Smart. Yep. It's early.
Like Mond, I'm out. I was out last season.
No matter what, you're just going to have to like, well, that's the bet I made.
I will say if he does well, then it'll be O'Connell. I'll blame him and I'll be on the O'Connell train and I'll say it was all him or something like that. That's
you got a couple outs.
Yeah. Yep.
That's good. I would love to keep talking about this, but I think we put our other two to sleep. And we got a couple other segments we need to get to. Okay. So we'll keep going. Stu, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
I would love if you would get to the world famous top six segment. Oh,
the top six this year, everybody. This
top
one
six. Is, now, we were talking in the green room earlier. Stu, you can remind the listeners of what top six means, but I just wanted to give a quick preview and say that this is promised to be the most controversial top six yet.
It is by far the most controversial top six.
And just so you know, last week's top six, I almost drove to your building because I know where you live and fought you. So it's going to be even more than that.
I know. Okay. The top six really just, it breaks down the top six of a certain subject. It could be an author's work. It could be a auteur's milieu, if you will. But
and why six?
Today's top six is the top six KQRS DJs from 9 a.m. to midnight from 1985 to 2022. Chicken Fingers may lose his goddamn mind if I screw this up. So I'm just trying to be a good person here. While still being true to the bit. So
I've got my whole office chair to sit in, but I only need the edge.
I got number six.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Ray Eric.
Yes. He seemed like the nicest man ever in the history. He had to follow up that morning zoo for a million years and they gave him nothing but shit.
Mm-hmm. Just poor Ray Eric out there just doing his level best to get to living on a prayer. Number five, Garth Kemp. Garth Kemp was the afternoon drive guy in the 90s. He sounded like he ate cigarettes and drowned them with cologne. He just lived on a diet of cigarettes and Hugo Boss. It just one of the best FM radio voices on God's green earth. I think he went to Los Angeles in the mid 90s and never came back. And why would you with that voice? It was a again, Garth Kim.
He was like Tanqueray down at the Schooner.
Yeah.
In Minneapolis. That had to be his lead in.
He makes Tom Bernard sound like Martin Short. I mean, it's such a resonant basso voice. It was just amazing. Number four, Mae Young.
Yes.
Mae Young.
Very sweet. Maybe nicer forever. Than Ray Eric.
Yes. And just has been a KQ for decades and just mm-hmm. I want to say the first prominent female voice on KQ, I think. Obviously, Terry Drake, but we're sticking to 9 a.m. to midnight here, people. Number three, Johnny Rock. John Lastman, everybody. He was the, I think he's on the morning show now, or may have been, but he was like their nighttime wacky guy. And I remember like back in the 80s, like they would like let local bands be on KQ for like a hot minute, like the Replacements were on there and he was going to go out drinking with the Replacements. And I thought that was really cool because the Replacements like to drink and I like the Replacements. So probably explains my alcohol problem, honestly. So number two.
I think Lastman's up in your old neck of the woods.
Yeah, I think he's at Rockin' 101, the Red House that rocks. I think. Yes.
I think he's up in St. Claude now.
Yeah. Number two, I think Chicken's on board with this one as well. Lisa Miller. Just Lisa Miller's great, man. She's just been introducing More Than a Feeling for years and years and years. And just, it's the kind of voice, it's just, it's like a comforting blanket. So mm-hmm. I'm just a big fan of Lisa Miller. And however, there was only one choice for number one. Wally Walker. Wally Walker. He gave out so many requests to the guys working up in Coon Rapids Jiffy Lube who just wanted to hear Paranoid by Black Sabbath.
You don't ask for much.
All they ever wanted in this.
All they want.
They wanted to hear Paranoid.
Wall Mental. That's what the morning show called him. Up next is Wall Mental.
Here's Van Morrison. Oh God. Anyway, I apologize if I got those out of order. I apologize if I missed anyone, but those I think are the top six KQRS 9 a.m. to midnight DJs 1985 to 2022.
I'm trying to think what I would say different. Zepp was a late night guy.
Yeah, I would have put Zep, if it was his top seven list, I would have put in Zep.
And I always
feel halfway here, Chicken.
Tough spot.
Because Zep is from my part of the state too. I think he's from Gaylord, just like Maxie is. So
that sounds about right. And he had to follow Tony Lee, and that's a tough.
That's
a tough act to follow. He was never. You're just not gonna ever have. No, people are going to not like you just simply for that fact.
No.
But I thought he was pretty good.
Was Tony Lee the guy that called and was like angry caller to like...
I think that was Crazy Cabe, I think.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
My boots got all wet. Tony Lee
was the guy. Tony Lee was the best at
the fun songs. Yeah.
Okay. What was the guy that was like, if I gotta come down, my boys, your ass will get whooped?
I think that was something that came from elsewhere. I know what you're talking. Yeah,
my boots got all wet.
It's goddamn
boys.
How'd the boots get wet? Well, goddamn water, of course.
Eagle is a bird of some sort.
Some sort. That was a KQ thing for sure. All right.
I think Tony Lee was Tom Kelly hobble.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's a great list, Stu.
Yeah, I think I did justice to the men and women of KQRS.
Well, and all the listeners too. I didn't know any of those names, but I did appreciate listening to it.
Wall Mental. Great.
Wally Walker, man. Oh, just the best. God. He could intro a Greg Allman song. Oh, he's doing it right now.
It's happening. Flip the dial.
Flip the dial. He's putting Ramblin' Man on and loading up the dishwasher before going to bed. Oh, God. That's my guy.
So I had two new segments I wanted to introduce tonight.
Oh, Jesus. And after 10, you're introducing two new segments.
Yeah, post 10 p.m.
You're on your mind. John's already gone to bed.
John's been gone a long time. He's still somehow logged in. He's going to be logged in well after this ends. John, are you here? I think he lost connection, right? But somehow he's still,
I'm still here.
Oh,
I'm
my God. Okay, John.
I was enjoying Stu reading members of the 76 California Angels and passing them off as KQRS DJs.
It's true. They all could be, and it'd be a very funny bit. Garth, I just like laugh along with it.
Come on.
You're thinking of Garth Orange. Come on. And he was on the Blue Jays.
So the first of two segments I was thinking we could call Drinking with Stu. This is not drinking with Stu as if we are going to be drinking with him, although that would be awesome. This is drinking exclamation point with Stu. So like we have questions about like alcohol and drinking. Stu could like answer it.
Okay.
Maybe. And I don't know if you know this one, and it's okay if you just want to have a pass for next week. It was more important that I just introduced this segment.
Okay.
But Stu, I had a cold IPA the other day.
Oh,
And so I'm a hazy man myself. That's all I really drink these days. But I went into my local liquor store, and the fella down there told me, you should try a cold IPA. And I said, I'm a hazy man, as I just mentioned.
Yes.
Anyway, so he says to me, you should still try a cold IPA because it's somewhat similar in the same family. And I had it, and brother, it was real good. So can you tell me, what is a cold IPA, Stu?
You know, Brandon, I'm glad you asked.
Thank you.
Cold IPA is basically it like pairs the crispness of a lager, a lawnmower beer, with the hop like heavy element of an IPA. So you get that hoppy, either like this could be like a bitter, like a West Coast hoppy beer, or like a hazy, like a little mellower, fruitier Northeast IPA. But you also get that lager crispness. So sort of, if you have a hazy, it kind of gives you that mouth coating feeling.
Sure.
The cold IPA does not have that. It's definitely a drier finish, and it's crisper in that, I'm going to say mouthfeel, and I apologize to everyone listening because
it's fine.
No one wants to hear a 51-year-old man say mouthfeel. But that is
the third time you've said it. So
I am very well aware, mouthfeel. And so that's basically what it is. And it's just the whole technical side of it is you don't, there's a certain boil temperature when you bring the wort to the proper temperature for fermentation. And yeah, with this, it's like meets in the middle of a ale and a lager boil. And that's kind of how you get that cold IPA effect, is you get that crispness of a lager, but you also still get that hoppy element. So that's what that is. It's basically a hybrid.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Stu,
it
seems... follow-up question? I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
All that stuff you just said, like all of it, you made all of that up, didn't you?
I did not make it all up.
You did too. There's no way. There's no way any of that is right.
He's right, John. Right.
It's absolutely right.
It's his job, man.
That is literally my job.
What you said was this beer tastes like an IPA, but it also tastes like a lager. At this point, we're just describing a beer. That's a beer.
That's different. There are different kinds of beer, John. You know that.
He might be onto something though, because it did feel like a smoother, like less IPA-y IPA.
I won't have it. I've had enough. This is where I draw the line.
John, have you tried a cold IPA?
No. I mean, in the sense that I've drank a beer before, yes.
In some ways, all I've ever had is a cold IPA.
Anyway, John, the effect of a cold IPA is that you will drink it like it's a Miller Lite or a Coors Light.
It's smoother than your typical bitter IPA is what I...
Yeah, and it'll fuck you up quicker is really the way to...
But it's also strong. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not as like juicy and thick as the New England IPAs.
Oh, you got mad at me for mouthfeel, and you're dropping juicy and thick in the
group. Juicy and thick in your mouth as you swallow it.
This is utterly idiotic.
I'm still a hazy guy. I'm still like 100%, but it's the only thing. So I've been 100% hazies for like 2 years, but this dude convinced me to try a cold IPA, and it was, I have to say, pretty refreshing. Delectable.
Well, that's good.
Okay, thank you, Stu. Thank you so much.
I haven't been this mad since we tried to get Holly Manti to explain sour beers to me, and I was more confused at the end than when we started.
You do have this is your weakness. This is when people describe beers to you is when you get upset. Right.
I get frustrated.
So that was the first edition of Drinking! Exclamation point with Stu. And so Chicken or John, if you have any other future topics for that, please submit them to me directly and I'll bring them up on the next podcast. Now, I did mention that there were two segments I wanted to introduce today. And so the second one, I was hoping we could entitle Eating with Chicken.
Oh, hell yeah.
And eating also, exclamation point, and then with Chicken is like the next point. So Chicken, are you still with us?
I'm right here.
So one thing that I think I sort of knew, but it didn't necessarily sink in until I started to get into this phase of life of all kids having sports at all times, all night, is the, I'll call it the chaotic dad dinner, if you will.
Sure.
Chaotic dad meal. That is, you get home at 5:30, you change into your sports coach clothes at 5:40. You need to be at practice at 6. You've realized you've got 4 minutes to eat dinner. Full chaos ensues in that kitchen. You are running around grabbing everything you can possibly stuff into your gullet because practice is going to go from 6 to 8:30. And then you have something else to do after that, a podcast, if you will. And so you can't really do a regular dinner, right?
Correct.
I'm wondering if you have, I'll give you an example. Here's what I had for dinner tonight. I had 2 microwaved Polish sausages that I ate in the car on the way to practice. And then when I got home, I had an entire bushel of grapes and a 4-pack of Nutter Butters. And now 2 strong beers. That's like a pretty standard meal for me. And I don't mean standard as in I will never have that exact meal again for as long as I live. I will never, ever, ever in my entire life eat 2 microwave Polish sausages, grapes, and a 4-pack of Nutter Butters ever again. But that's generally the sense of a type of meal I have most weekdays nowadays. So I'm wondering if you have any examples or if you have any tips on the chaotic on-the-go dad meal. What did you do in times like this? Did you have a go-to?
I do. Well, I still do it. I do not have a go-to. And I will say, living in the town that we do, you have limited options. Like, we don't have anywhere close to, at least living where I do. Don't live in town. We don't have fast food.
There's no Jimmy John's on the corner.
Yeah, it's so really. It's
there's no New Jersey Michaels anywhere near
New Jersey Michaels. No,
and there isn't even like a Quick Trip where you could go in and get like chicken fingers at 10:30 p.m. So you're really limited to what you have at home. I use a lot of crock pots. So that it's something is available for whoever is home at whatever time they're home. If that makes sense.
Just full of cocktail weenies. Just 19 of those.
It's often some sort of roast, whether it's beef or pork or sometimes chicken. It's one of those 3 things that you can just grab. And then usually on Sundays, sometimes a different night, but typically Sundays, I will make a large amount of something that can be heated up quickly.
Tacos.
Absolutely not. Fuck you.
Asian food.
Oh my
God. Orange chicken.
Chicken's famous pad thai.
It makes me so angry.
You got to send me that recipe, bro.
I can't imagine. So the house would smell not just that one night you make the pad thai.
Oh, yeah. For weeks.
For the weeks. And then also you're heating it up for leftovers and for the rest of the week. So every night now the house.
If it's winter, like, brother, that's not coming out till May.
What a horrible idea. Like I'd buy like an ice house. If you live here and you insisted on having it, I'd buy an ice house for you. And that's where you'd have to live.
Live on the lake.
No, not on the lake. The ice
just in
house
the, just in the yard.
In the yard.
Yeah.
And that's where you'd eat your pad thai. And
that's where the pad thai house.
Pad thai house.
It's a good idea.
Mashed potatoes. Something that. It's like a mashed potatoes would be a good example. You could have that on the side with whatever's in the crock pot. So now you have a potato and a big hearty meal.
I don't understand though. I got home at 5:30. I'm leaving at 5:35. No. I have five minutes. I'm making where are the mashed potatoes coming from?
You have that when you get home. So my strategy.
Oh, gotcha. Just to get you through the practice.
I have a big giant meal for lunch so that at 5:30. I can have something, a banana or something to get me through practice.
Sleeve of Nutter Butters.
When I get home,
yep.
Then I'd have that big meal.
Oh, all right. So you're like getting through practice. You're crow hopping from 7 feet away, batting practice to your son.
Yep.
Just in the whole back of your mind, you go, I'm going to tuck into a roast so hard when I get home. It's going to be the greatest ever. You do your good eating after practice.
Absolutely. That's
now,
it.
Did you ever run into the issue where you get done with practice, you're ready to go home, you're looking forward to that pot roast meal, and then a fellow dad goes, hey, do you want to just slam like four beers in the parking lot, or you want to head up to the bar real quick? The kids will continue to, because then you're into a little bit of a sticky situation yourself of like, well, I kind of am on an empty stomach at this point. Do you ever run into that?
We did not have, no.
Parking lot beers was not the cultural thing.
Not post-practice parking lot beers.
Okay, so post just my friends that are.
Game parking lot beers occasionally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Often, far more often was pre-game beers.
Oh boy.
Post-game was not as often.
You get sauced up and then just like go coach third.
Well. Yes. Uh-huh. Ideally, you're coaching first, because what does that guy even do over there?
Oh, man. It's
nothing.
It's pandemonium. At third base, you don't want any part of that. If you've had three cold IPAs, you want to get over to first. Just let me take your batting gloves. Oh, you want to hold on to them? Okay, you got it, bud. One out.
Yep.
Fist bump.
And I just, there was
pick
never
pick up your
any
third base, coach.
Plate.
Just yes. Pick them up when you round it. Okay, get out there, bud. You can do that. You could do that after nine beers.
I could do that during a wedding reception.
Just there's an iPad of you at first base, and you're just yep. FaceTiming.
The hat, little hat on top of the iPad. Of course.
Curve it more. Curve it more.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Enjoying yourself?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Stu's getting kicked out. No. Stu, we can hear you.
I'm not getting kicked out. He's just checking on me. That's okay. You too.
Stu, and with the St. Paul police.
No, that was.
We've had a number of complaints.
No, it was a security.
Is that Mayor Carter? Was that your mayor? Is that Mayor Carter?
We heard that you ranked Wally Walker first.
It was the Brian Zepp Truth Foundation. Nope, just checking on who is using the business office at 10:30 at night.
This literally is business.
It is literally what he's up to.
Yeah.
Mae Young, that makes me so happy. Just I hadn't thought about here in a long time.
Oh, boy. Okay, so you think pot roast is the, I mean, I have to be honest with you. I'm not going to be doing that.
I think crock pots are. You asked me what I do. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's what you. So what would you, I don't know what to tell you. Then you're destined for a life in Nutter Butters, Brandon. Mm-hmm.
And that's, which is just, that's just empty carbs, Brandon. You of anyone should know those are empty carbs.
A crock pot, you can't get more lean. It's just lean protein.
Yeah, lean protein.
You're just stacking on grams of protein.
Yeah.
You the need, best part. The best part of this whole discussion was when Chicken said a banana, and Brandon immediately corrected him and said a 4-pack of Nutter Butters.
Fuck that.
No. I can't even let that slide. In
terrible example. Banana. Let's correct the record. Nutter Butters. Yeah, I'm just looking for an excuse to eat Nutter Butters. So I love that idea, though. I'm trying to think about, I do get worried because it has become a culture of my sports dads that we do pound beers after practice. And I can't eat it. I mean, I can, but I try to hammer something before I go to a practice or a game.
Let me ask this.
I love the idea.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, I love the idea of you like ending practice. Like, all right, kids, everybody take 2 laps of the field. And then you whip a loaf of bread out of your bag and just throw down 4 slices of bread to try to give yourself a cushion.
I'm worried about your carb and sugar intake, Brandon.
Sure.
So
two
and lack of protein.
Are things well, okay
it's two home, Polish Brandon? Sausages.
Are you okay, Brandon? You don't eat carbs.
You're right. This is a call for help. This is you know now there's a hostage pointing a gun at me. This was my message to you. If I mention that I ate carbs, send help. Stu, whoever came to your place, they were supposed to come to my house. The guy just showed up. You're like, no, other guy, other host.
What if you had like beef sticks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Beef jerky.
Jerky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can get like chicken and turkey jerky. You don't even have to go with red meat.
Okay.
Or a venison stick.
Yeah.
So just pound. Don't you guys, we're getting, I mean, that's a lot of sodium, pals. Do you not worry about that?
What do you think is in Nutter Butters?
17,000 Nutter Butters. Just nothing. That's water.
Instead of 4-pack. It's a regular amount of Nutter Butters. This is not a crazy amount of Nutter Butters. Find a new slant.
Every time I mention a fruit, you replace it with Nutter Butters. By the end of the day, you're supposed to have like 5 servings of fruit.
We Nutter Butter, Nutter Butter. Nutter
20 Nutter Butters.
No, I don't eat bananas. It's one of the few things I can't eat.
This is can't just so God. I don't know what's wrong.
I ate so many grapes. I'll crush apples. I love pineapple, watermelon. I eat the shit out of carrots. I guess I was more looking for you to bond with me. Of here's a funny meal I used to eat as a sports dad, and you just came at me with pot roast.
No, I chicken understand. Was.
Well prepared and nutritionally balanced, which
beef sticks, string cheese, almonds,
all great help.
What you were looking for, what you were looking for was something like, well, what I would do is I would put spaghetti and meatballs in a blender, and then I just have that as like a sports shake. And just have that out. I'd be pitching BP, putting balls in the pitching machine.
So here's the deal. I tested it. If you put that spaghetti blender concoction in the microwave at 8 a.m. before you leave, and you put it in the microwave for 6.5 hours, it'll be boiling. Yeti. By the time you get home at 4:30, it'll be just about ready for you to eat, to consume. Yeah, I'm looking for a hack.
And there's no, yeah, you're fucked. I told you when your oldest was like 3 that this was coming for you.
You did.
And you laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, no, not me.
Not me, bro. I got my Soylent. I won't be coaching. I'll just be on the side with my iPad and just like efficiently working. I'll be doing just like pull-ups at the monkey bars. That's what I'll be doing. No. Nope. Microwave Polish sausages that I had to eat in the car. Like I had to put them in my lap in the car on the way to practice. Got mustard all over the place.
Yeah, that's not a good. Those lap sausages are not great. especially for a man who doesn't wash his fucking pants.
No, not in traditional senses. Some may say I wash them.
Some don't.
Most don't. Yeah, almost everybody says I don't wash them.
That's okay.
Do you wash them?
Who's asking? Some people or most people? I mix in a wash. I mix in a wash. Not very often, but I mix it in if I need to. I give a sniff and see what happens. The pants tell me if they need to be washed. You know what I'm saying? Like, they tell me. I don't tell the pants.
Well, at least we have a show title now.
All right. Should we call it? I feel like we should have probably called it a long time ago. All right. God. We're going to stop recording now. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.